Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we continue our sermon series, Shiny, Pretty, Deadly Things, The Seven Deadly Sins. I think sloth is the most enjoyable of the vices, so why do I need to work so hard to fight it? Can we just watch TV instead? Join us for the message, Sloth, if we can get around to it. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. You know, I think sloth is the most enjoyable of the vices. So I'm not sure why I have to work so hard to fight it. I really would just rather watch TV instead. Join us later for our message, Sloth, if we can get around to it. It's going to be part of our sermon series, Shiny, Pretty, Deadly Things on the Seven Deadly Sins.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. Listen now to the Word of God. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things and enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But with those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You've been in it all week long. You're exhausted, mentally, physically, emotionally, and all you want to do is change into your pajamas, make some popcorn, prop up your feet, and binge watch TV. Because all you want to do is to be transported into another world, if just for a little while, where there are no bills to be paid, there's no loved ones who have to be placated, there's no bad news to unsettle us. I mean, is that really so bad? I mean, okay, it may be slothful, but does wanting to have a night off really constitute a deadly sin? I mean, come on. Besides, how could the vice of sloth really be that bad when sloths are so cute? Cue the first sloth slide. I mean, look at that face. It's so cute. Show the second slide. You know, sloths are as lazy as all get out. But when they just lie around like third base, we think it's adorable. Show the third one. We think sloths are so adorable that there's even an International Sloth Day on October 20th. And the Sloth Institute, and yes, there is such a thing, even has a festival to celebrate it. Slothtoberfest. International Sloth Day will be on a Sunday this year. So I think we should build the whole worship service around sloths that day. So Garth, you start working on that. Don't be slothful. Very slow, slow music. All right, thank you, sound booth. The adorable sloth does make it hard sometimes to take the vice of sloth seriously. In fact, in 2005, the author and the playwright Wendy Wasserstein even wrote a book on sloth. And being too lazy to think of a better name, she simply entitled it Sloth. And the book Sloth was intended to be a parody on self-help books. And so here is the description. Sloth guides readers step by step to a life of noncommittal inertia. You have the right to be lazy, writes Wasserstein. You can choose not to move. Readers will find out the importance of lethargiosis, the process of eliminating energy and drive, the vital first step in becoming a sloth. To help you attain the perfect state of indolent bliss, the book offers a wealth of self-help aids. Readers will find the sloth songbook, sloth breakfast bars packed with sugar, additives, and a delicious touch of Ambien. Sloth documentaries such as the author's 12-hour epic on Thomas Aquinas. And the Sloth Television Network, programming guaranteed not to stimulate or challenge in any way. In the book Sloth, you will discover how to become a sloth in your diet, exercise, work, and even your love life. Because true love leads to passion, and she warns, passion is the enemy of sloth. And this is actually a real book. When Wendy Wasserstein, she may have imagined a 12-hour documentary on Thomas Aquinas as lethargy-inducing, but do remember that it was this 13th century theologian, Thomas Aquinas, who gave us the seven deadly sins as we know them today, and he took sloth very seriously. But first, just a little bit of review. Remember, we're in the liturgical season of Lent, a time when we take this opportunity to reflect on our own lives, on our own virtues and vices. And to help us in this, Christian authors and theologians for 2,000 years have composed lists of virtues to emulate and vices to avoid. And the best known of these is what we now call the seven deadly sins, given to us by Thomas Aquinas. And even though they're called the list of seven deadly sins, they're really more a list of vices than they are necessarily sins. And so what's the difference between a sin and a vice? Well, a sin is either the commission of a specific sinful act, or it can refer to the overall condition of the human race, that we're all caught up in the power of sin. On the other hand, a vice or a virtue, either one, is more like a habit of mind. They're character traits that one develops over a period of time until they become like this internalized part of our own personality. And as we cultivate virtues, doing good will come out of this sense of flow, even a sense of ease, opposed to really having to make a real effort to resist temptation. But to get to the self, this sense of self-flow, we have to be self-aware of which of the virtues we need to cultivate, and conversely, self-aware, and be able to confess our own vices. And so that's what we're going to be doing during Lent. It's not about wallowing in guilt or shame. It's just about talking about vice and virtue as a path to spiritual formation, or as John Wesley called it, sanctification, the process by which the Holy Spirit makes us holy. And every vice points to something good, some sort of true human need and desire, except in vice it gets kind of distorted and twisted. Vices are always unsuccessful attempts to give us what it is that we really want, and that's to be fully known and unconditionally loved. So of all the vices that Aquinas could have listed, why did sloth make the top seven? Well, Thomas Aquinas defines sloth as a resistance to the demands of love, which is not a definition I would have come up with if you had asked me to make a definition of sloth. But he points out that sloth is not so much a laziness of body or a laziness concerning work. It's a laziness in love. And then perhaps by extension, a laziness in joy. When we're being slothful, we're essentially saying, we don't care. We don't care enough. We don't love enough to do what needs to be done. The archaic term for sloth is acedia. You may have heard that term. But acedia in Greek literally means lack of love. And so Aquinas categorized sloth not as a vice of the body, such as lust or gluttony, two great vices that we will get to, but sloth is really a spiritual vice. It's not really a battle between our body and soul. It is a resistance to spiritual transformation. Sloth sabotages sanctification. As one writer put it, sloth cannot be defined as laziness, since slothful people often pour great physical effort into the difficult task of distracting themselves from the unhappiness of their real condition. Slothful people can be very busy. Sloth can be linked to both apathy and avoidance. Apathy has been called a despairing resignation. There's not really anything I can do about this situation, so why even try? Which is usually followed by something like, you know, I don't care anyway. That's very passive. Now, opposed to apathy, avoidance is much more active. It's an active attempt to escape the situation by doing something else. And this can be accomplished by mindlessly being entertained by TV or social media. I mean, I see this in the world all the time, out in public. People just scrolling on their phones, just oblivious to whatever else is going on around them. We can avoid things by socializing. This is one of my favorites. We can avoid some work that truly needs to be done by doing other kinds of work that are less urgent. Several months ago, I was working from home, and I had a strict, drop-dead, end-of-the-day deadline for what I was working on that day. And yet, for some strange reason, this compulsion came over me, and I suddenly decided that this was the perfect time to start organizing all of my CDs, a project for which had no urgency whatsoever. And I did this for several minutes before I realized that I was working on one thing to avoid working on the harder thing. And at least I was able to recognize what I was doing and kind of redirect myself. Procrastination is an exercise in avoidance. And procrastination can be caused by many things. It can be caused by a sense of overwhelm. We put things off because we don't even know where to begin or how to do it. We can procrastinate because we have a fear of failure, a fear of success, a fear of being controlled by others. Regardless, we know deep down that there's some important work that needs to be done that is different from the work with which we are busying ourselves. In fact, workaholism is a form of slothfulness. This need to ever increase our rate of productivity, this is particularly advice I might add of Americans, but this need to ever increase our rate of productivity is a form of idolatry. It prevents us from giving the proper attention to the relationships that we say that we hold most dear, our relationship with our loved ones, our relationship with God. But there are two things, though, I do want us to consider when we consider slothfulness. Number one, depression and grief can look a lot like slothfulness. When we're depressed or we're in mourning, we may even berate ourselves for not being as productive as we think we should be. When in fact the work that we need to be doing is dealing with our grief, our depression in a healthy way. Sometimes the work that we most need to do and the work that we've really been putting off is interior work. It's working on ourselves to fully realize and integrate our emotional and our spiritual lives. The second thing, we must not confuse the vice of slothfulness with the spiritual practice of Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping involves maintaining healthy rhythms of work and rest in our lives. Now, on the outside, to the untrained eye, slothfulness and Sabbath keeping can look similar, but sloth builds up barriers around our hearts that keep us from being fully aware of our interior lives. And in contrast, Sabbath opens up the eyes of our hearts and enables us to see the truth of what is really there, while at the same time bringing us that peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I think one huge difference, one huge way that you can tell the difference between slothfulness and Sabbath rest is that after being slothful, I still feel anxious. But after true Sabbath rest, then I feel truly rested and rejuvenated. And I have learned from my experience, sometimes I've had to learn this many, many times, that keeping Sabbath and resting from work actually will make me more productive in the long run. The key is just having a sense of moderation and balance and harmony. In a sense, is to have the peace of shalom. When we remain open to God and open to the promptings of God, then we'll kind of develop this innate sense of when to work and when to rest. Just like Jesus did, the gospel records many instances of Jesus getting off by himself just to kind of rest and reflect. I do think it's important, however, that we avoid developing a rigid or a legalistic approach to Sabbath rest. Just remember that there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Now, embracing our need for Sabbath rest does not relieve us, however, of the duty to do the work that needs doing and to develop the gifts and the abilities that God gave us and to fulfill our calling as ministers of Christ, which is a calling all Christians share. In the parable of Jesus that Kathy read, the third slave is so afraid of failure that he fails to do anything with the talent with which he's been entrusted. Instead, he takes his talent and buries it in the ground, rendering it symbolically dead. He chooses to kill his talent rather than take the possibility or the chance of failing. We English speakers are actually at an advantage when we study or hear this parable. Because in the story, the word talent refers to a sum of money. It's the equivalent about 15 years of the work of a standard day laborer. And so a talent would be worth roughly $400,000 today. But the English word talent also refers to having a special ability or a special aptitude. So the English word talent draws out for us this deeper meaning of the parable. We are not to waste either the financial gifts we've been given or the talents and abilities with which we have been endowed by our Creator. Many, many a time during my life, my mother said to me, quoting Jesus, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." And she told me that my mother's mother, frequently quoted this to her, and it's probably been quoted in my family for generations. One of the gifts we've all been given, even if we've been given it in varying amounts, is the gift of time. Which brings me, I think, to my definition of sloth. Remember, Thomas Aquinas defined sloth as a resistance to the demands of love, and I think that's a great definition. But I would add to it, because for me, sloth is the misuse and the wasting of God's good gift of time. And time is such a precious gift, and we only have a finite amount of this blessing. We know that we do not have all the time in the world. As the poet Mary Oliver says, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" Now, you all know I'm a big Harry Potter fan, but I'm also a big Star Trek fan. And in the movie Star Trek Generations, and this is the movie that transitioned from the original cast to the Next Generation cast, Captain Picard says in the final scene of the film, Someone once told me that time was a predator that stalked us all our lives. But I rather believe that time is a companion who goes with us on the journey, reminds us to cherish every moment because they'll never come again. Combating sloth then requires us doing the right work, taking the right rest at the right time as an expression of our love for God, neighbor, and ourselves. I want to say that again. Combating sloth means doing the right work, taking the right rest at the right time as an expression of our love for God, neighbor, and ourselves. So go do the work that God has called you to do, and then take the Sabbath rest that God has commanded you to do, and let all of it be an expression of love. That being said, when I get home this afternoon, I'll probably take a nap. Amen. Receive this benediction. Never tire of doing good. And never forget the God who never tires of doing good to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hope today's service was a blessing to you. Join us every Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. Next week, we continue our sermon series, Shiny, Pretty, Deadly Things, the Seven Deadly Sins, with a look at greed. All that glitters is not gold. You can always access our services through our website, tumcd.org, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. If you like what you're hearing, you can also support our ministry with your gift through our website, tumcd.org. God bless you in the week ahead, and we'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.